This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast for the week ending January 5th, 2007. This is episode 8. Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. Hello, I'm your host, Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda, and co-hosting with me this week, as usual, is Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan Zilu.
Hello, everyone.
And Ken, a.k.a. Shepherd Epsilon Clavius.
Hello, everyone.
This week, we'll be talking about camera modes in Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. But before we get to that, we'd like to talk about some community interest items. We sent off some emails to our PR person, Ryan at Obsidian, and asked him some questions, and he sent us back replies. We'd like to share those with you. First question we sent him was, will there be a Mac Linux client in the future? His answer was, not in the near future. We've been asked about it, and we're looking into it, but it's no small task. And the other thing of interest, we said, will there be a Linux server released in the future? He said, right now we are focusing on patches and additional content. However, if we do a Linux client, it would make sense to do a Linux server. So, our third question as we got back from him was, is there a chance that the secure ROM CD check will be removed like it was in Neverwinter Nights 1? And Ryan's response was that the publisher makes those kinds of choices, and if Atari wants them to remove it, they certainly will. So we need to keep putting the push on Atari for that. Again, these obviously are non-committal answers, as you can tell. He's going to say, we're not working on that, or we're not going to do that, or yes, he's not committing to anything there, but trying to cover his own, well, you know. But I think the last one is of interest, is if we put enough pressure on Atari, then they tell him to take it out, it will get taken out.
Also in our community interest, I was out on the BioWare forums, and I came across a post. The post was actually to Annie Carlson, and if for our longtime listeners, if you remember from our very first episode, she was our first interview. Anyway, the post starts out, Annie Carlson rules by two tricks. And it says, hey, Annie Carlson, I just heard the podcast, really liked it. I also think armor and weapon design in Neverwinter Nights 2 is one of the better points. Many kudos to you. And then he goes on to say, also, you can sign me up for your fan club. So, if y'all remember at the end, I said, yeah, you're going to have a fan club after this. There's proof of it right here.
She didn't believe us.
So I thought that was kind of interesting to find that post. There's also a forum that I frequent, and there was some conversation on that forum talking where some Persistent World developers were thinking of waiting on patch 104 before they released their Persistent Worlds. So there's kind of a little buzz out there, you know, among the Persistent World developers that there's a couple of major bugs still in Neverwinter Nights 2 that is kind of holding up Persistent World makers. And just to kind of give you an idea of what those major bugs are, there's I guess the DM clients are causing servers to crash. There's also another bug called packet flooding. Not sure what that all involves, but those are some of the two big bugs that seem to be holding up some of the developers from finishing their or thinking about releasing their, you know, their worlds early. So I thought that was some interesting information that everybody might want to know about.
There were some exploit fixes that he was hoping would be fixed in 1.04 before he released their module. Persistent World module package, but for obvious reasons don't want to go into what those exploits were.
Right. And that the DM client crashing bug is rather severe since it hinders the DM, you know, in running their events. Oh, and the packet flooding makes the entire server crash. So, sounds like there's some serious fixes that need to come along before the Persistent Worlds can come out.
Let's get to some listener feedback. We got some feedback from just moments ago while we were reporting the podcast from Bruce over at Light Reborn. On the comment back on episode 5, said you had quite a bit of discussion about the XP penalty. We mentioned several times that your sorcerer rogue probably had an XP penalty because you didn't keep your levels within one of each other. Whether this is fact true or not depends on your race. If you are human, then your highest class sorcerer will be your favorite class, so it won't matter, and there will be no XP penalty. So thanks for sharing that with us, Bruce. That helps clarify that for us, because that was a little point we were unclear on.
Right, and in our discussions, I don't think we got into talking about races. So, but just to go on with what he's saying there, my sorcerer was not a human. It was an elf, half-elf. So I probably was getting penalized. And that kind of goes along with the next feedback that we got from River King, who's becoming a regular, by the way. He says, you forgot to mention that human and half-elves don't get XP penalty for multiclassing. Oh, so he's saying human and half-elves. So maybe I wasn't getting penalized because I just said I was a half-elf and not
right.
a human.
Yeah,
there so he's saying human and half-elves don't get penalties. So
there's the only two classes that don't, I think.
Okay, so cool. So thanks, River King and Bruce. Appreciate it. You guys rock.
Okay, and we got a reply on the Christmas mod. You know, in one of the previous episodes, I asked you guys to send us in information about a Christmas-themed mod that would be appropriate for holiday fun hacking and slashing. And Dave sent in telling us about the Selma Hayek Christmas Carol.
Oh, my gosh.
And it goes into the description of it. It says, young Timmy was a good boy last year, and all he wants for Christmas is Selma Hayek. Unfortunately,
oh, baby.
She's been kidnapped by the Grinch. As one of Santa's helpers, you must rescue her. So don your Santa suit, grab your toy lightsaber, and team up with the mighty reindeer. The war between Santa and the Grinch is about to get ugly. So I've downloaded it. I'm trying to look at it. I want to play it. It does require the community expansion pack, and this module is for Neverwinter Nights 1. So, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. I will be checking that mod out most definitely.
I'm downloading it now.
It says it requires the 1.52 community expansion pack.
I loaded version 2 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I've got that loaded on, too. I was going to try that and see if it would work before I jumped into just trying to do the 1.52.
Hey, role players and Neverwinter addicts. This is ASO, English consultant and PR of the Saga Project team. Our project, Saga, the Fangai Schism, is set in a completely unique campaign setting created by lead developer Fumiga. Our goal is to make our Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world a friendship-based roleplay community with dedicated dungeon masters, engaging plotlines, beautiful landscapes, and great systems for our players, including crafting, activity points, a new death system, and a whole lot more. Our team currently consists of 6 dedicated staff members, but we have several positions open, including scripting and detail building. Saga is still under heavy construction, and we're planning to release on December 2nd. For more information on available positions and the world of Saga, visit us at our website, www.sagathian.com. That's SAGATHIAN.com.
Okay, for this segment of the podcast, we're going to start having a multi-part topic called How the Neverwinter Nights Community Was Formed. And what I decided to do was I went out onto the Planet Neverwinter forums, which I read quite a bit now, at least once, twice, three times a week. And I will post a series of questions to the forum to help answer this question of how the Neverwinterites community was formed. So to give you some background on the Planet Neverwinterites forums, they were started back in 1999 by two guys named Silverdawn and Thaladar. Thaladar was a.k.a. Eric Noah, the guy who N-World was named after. The forums were pretty small until around 2002 when Neverwinterites 1 went gold and Planet Neverwinter was made an official GSI forum. When that hit, Planet Neverwinter exploded. The forums really jumped for a while, mostly because folks from Planet Baldur's Gate migrated. Then those folks found out that the owners of this site, Planet Neverwinter, didn't like their ways and manners. So the Planet Baldur's Gate folks left. The site thrived on anticipation, and many folks were let down by Neverwinterites. So they either stayed and spammed, or they left. Then came in folks who bought the game and liked it and stayed. Now, on the Neverwinter forums, or Planet Neverwinter forums, there are 8 moderators, most of whom are from this era. Corgan, Selenius, Elferar, Critter, Mad Cow, Askarel, Atalanta, and Greylog. And so before I go to the first discussion question, which I posted on the forum, I'd like to thank Greylock and contributor Lama Infracta for the history of Planet Neverwinter. So part one, and the first question that we're going to discuss was, what came first, Neverwinter Nights, the game, or Neverwinter Nights, the community? According to some of those who were around when it started, the hype came first. And you know, isn't that how most games get started, is with a lot of hype?
Hey, they were thinking about all the hype it was for Neverwinterites 2.
And there's a theory that it likely started with Baldur's Gate 2, if people remember, which I don't remember. I'm actually getting this information from some people who are telling me about this, because I never played Baldur's Gate 2.
No, I never played Baldur's Gate 2 either.
But if those of you out there who are listening who did, if you remember the loading screens that promised you that your character could continue his or her adventures in Neverwinter Nights, was where most of the hype started, sounds like. You know, so the marketing train left the station, and rumors of the toolset, DM client, and endless possibilities began to circulate, drawing in a lot of the pen and paper players and card RPGers alike. So just like Neverwinter Nights 2, people were planning worlds, campaigns, and so on before the game was released.
And then they were given a crappy client.
You know, and before anything was finalized. With Neverwinter Nights, a lot of them were let down. The game didn't live up to the hype. The tool set was restrictive. The official campaign was somewhat lackluster compared to the hype. And the graphics were already outdated by the release. Others believed it was purely by the creative endeavors of the community that the game lasted so long. And that people were willing to be patient with an extremely buggy sequel. So, it sounds to me like the community came first.
Well, the community was just feeding off of what the publishers were putting out for them. How would it get in Baldur's Gate 2 if they hadn't already started planning some of it out?
Right.
The main point that you've made, I totally agree with, is that just like Neverwinter Nights 2, we're seeing history repeating itself. We've got a good, I'm enjoying the single player campaign, but I know there's been a lot of issues with it. There's a lot of patches coming out, and there's a lot of bugs and other things with the tool set and a whole bunch of other parts of the game that just aren't up to what it should be and not up to what it was promised. So there are, again, a lot of people in the community that feel let down. So I think it's by the endeavors of the community that the game has lasted long, and probably Neverwinter Nights 2 will only last that long if the community's behind it.
Well, but I will add, though, that it sounds to me, and also from other discussions that I've heard on this same forum, that I don't think Neverwinter Nights 2 is as really bad as Neverwinter Nights 1 was to begin with. So I think maybe Neverwinter Nights 2 kind of has a leg up as far as, you know, because it's gotten a lot of good reviews. And
well, yeah, and it was the
and
number,
it's like
one
number one
selling
on the
game
selling
for November.
List. Yeah. So... But so I do agree that history is kind of repeating itself because there's still a lot of stuff they got, you know, a lot of bugs that they got to fix and things like that. But
well, I also think that the community is somewhat more critical than your average Joe player.
Yep.
The person that's not just, you know, not really into RPGs or into MMORPGs or pen and paper games for Dungeons and Dragons is going to sit down with Never Nots and have a completely different perspective on how to play it. He's going to think that the single player module is just awesome. But everyone in the community being more understanding and having a deeper knowledge of what these games are all about, or looking at this client and seeing the issues in it, hoping that they will fix them and hoping that they wouldn't repeat a Neverwinter Nights 1, if issues that they had. See some of that happen again. I agree with you. I think you're right that Neverwinter Nights 2 is probably not as bad, but there are still things that they promised that they pulled out. The database support for persistent worlds. They said again and again and again when Neverwinter Nights 2 released that we're listening to the community, we're going to take your ideas and make them part of the game, and we've yet to see a lot of that happen.
But I think it will.
Well, I think it will, but I think it will be community expansion pack team, community tile set team, community, some community team going in and rewriting those portions of the game that are lacking, which is exactly what they did with Neverwinter Nights 1.
I would like to thank Elathar and Critter for contributing the information for part one of the Neverwinter Nights community topic. So next time in part two, we'll explore the history of Neverwinter Nights. And what I'm going to do is I'll post a question out on the Planet Neverwinter forums and let everybody chime in if you want to on your history of Neverwinter Nights. And then I'll put together a topic for next time.
Sorcerers, bards, and warlocks do not use intelligence for casting spells. They use charisma instead. Well, this week's main topic is camera modes, because we had a discussion earlier just amongst ourselves and decided this to make a good topic for the spotlight about some of the camera modes that we didn't like in Neverwinter Nights 2, and then we also got to talking about the camera modes in Neverwinter Nights 1. So I just want to open up the floor for discussion and for everyone to give their impressions, camera modes, Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, and what you liked and what you didn't like.
Well, in Neverwinter Nights 1, you really only had two main modes. It was a top-down view versus a kind of a chase mode view or chase-slash-driving mode view. But in Neverwinter Nights 1, I can pretty much get in the game and set the camera mode that I like and leave it. I didn't really have to fiddle with different camera modes or moving it around or...
Yeah, I think it actually listed three different kinds of camera modes, but you're right. Two of them were very, very similar based on the same kind of camera action, just very, very slight, subtle modifications.
Right. And also, you know, the only time I really had to mess with the camera was when I wanted to set up a specific scene for maybe a screenshot or something. But the rest of the time, I pretty much just left it alone and was able to play the game both indoor environments and outdoor environments. Now, in Neverwinter Nights 2, I find that I have to pretty much keep constantly messing with the camera and moving the angles and so that I can see my character.
It almost seems like it took the Microsoft approach to things, that they're going to make those kind of adjustments that people made in Neverwinter Nights 1 for us, and they're getting it wrong. Because I have the same thing. I'm frustrated with that as well. I like the driving camera or chase camera mode, but when I get into that and you get into a tight spot with a structure, especially indoors, your camera will swing somewhere you had no idea where you're going, and it's
right.
A fight to get it back to where you can see what you need to see.
Right, and you're pretty much forced to switch to a top-down view indoors, especially if it's a small indoor area. I wish there was an option to automatically switch to a top-down view when you go into an indoor area.
Oh, yeah, that would be very helpful.
You know, maybe somebody out there could even script something like that. I don't know if that's possible in the tool set, but, I mean, that would be nice.
The one of the things I liked in Neverwinter Nights 1 with a chase camera is that from the default position that it would put it in, I would drop it back down just a few degrees, and it stayed there, and I never had to mess with it again, just like you were saying earlier. In Neverwinter Nights 2, you hit a corner, and you change, turn the corner, and you don't stay at that same angle, and all of a sudden you're looking at this guy's butt.
But as I play Neverwinter Nights 2 more and more, I'm slowly getting used to the different camera angles and the style of play. I don't really see that there's more modes. That seems to me like there's actually, you still have the top-down view, and then there's a free view, which I haven't really messed with much yet. I've noticed on the lot of the forums out there on the internet, people are using the free mode. But what I was going to say is, chase mode and driving mode and top-down mode are pretty much the same, except that the height angle of the camera, it's more of a macro rather than a mode. You can go to any of those modes and automatically change your camera height mode with the page up or page down or the mouse up and down movements if you have the on-off screen camera driving option turned on.
Well, yeah, you can do that, but like in, it doesn't stay there, though.
Right.
That's one of the things that frustrates me.
Right.
Is that in Neverwinter Nights 1, once you set it, if you're like, well, it's a little pitch too high for me, so I'm going to drop it down a little bit, or maybe it's too low and you're going to bring it up a little bit, you could pretty much be assured that it was going to stay there until you changed it again. Where in Neverwinter Nights 2, it's all over the place. You never know where your camera angle is going to turn up. When the next you go to talk to somebody and your camera angle just gets hosed.
Yeah.
Hey, while y'all were talking about all that, I did a search out on the BioWare forums, and I came across an interesting thought on the cameras here posted by Grayscale777. The name of his thread is A Few Thoughts on the Camera Devs Please Consider. He goes on to say, I know lots of people have complained about the camera, but I'm going to try to state simply what I think the problem is. Neverwinter Nights 2 is trying to do two different styles of game at once, and it's choosing the worst of both worlds. It's trying to combine the RTS camera style of games like Warcraft 3 and Neverwinter Nights 1 with the over-the-shoulder camera style of small party RPGs like KOTAR and World of Warcraft. So do y'all agree with that, kind of? That it's kind of trying to do two different styles? And that's why you're seeing it jumping all over the place on you, Jay?
I think they just tried to... It may be. I'm not familiar with all those games there.
Right.
I know for World of Warcraft players, they like first-person playing. And so you're more immersed in the world. Since Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 are both modeled around party playing, I don't know that that would be the best way to approach that here.
See, he goes on to say, if you want the game to play more like Baldur's Gate 2 or an RTS, you can have the camera zoom out overhead and movable, but you need to let the player control multiple characters at once with click dragging and subgroups. And you need to move all the ceilings and trees out of the way. I think it's probably too late to try that, he says.
That would be awesome if you could click and drag and highlight two people in your party and then send them off, give them a location to go to because they're highlighted, or tell them to attack.
Right.
Those two companions go attack this one person. That would be awesome. I don't know if that's necessarily related to the camera modes, but that's just gameplay.
And if you want the game to play like a standard behind the character RPG, he goes on to say, you need to change the control scheme and camera to standard WASD plus mouse look, which I think is how they do it in World of Warcraft, isn't that right?
Well, that's basically the way I played it in Neverwinter Nights 1 was,
yeah,
I would stay zoomed out, but I used my WASD keys to control my character's movement, and I would move the screen right and left panning to look around while I continue to move forward. That is something I got into the habit of when I was playing the Mech Warrior games, because you could strafe your mech around and shoot while you're running off in a different direction. So I guess I'm just used to it from that.
And his next sentence is kind of funny. He says, you can leave 50 other camera modes in there if you want, but it boggles the mind that there are 4 camera modes and none of them are the standard that all first-person games and nearly all behind-the-character games use. The mouse should control the direction that the camera and character face, and when you run forward, you should run in the direction the camera is pointing. So there can, of course, be options to run in a direction other than the way the camera is pointing. World of Warcraft is a good example of how this is done. But the default really should be turning with the mouse and running slash strafing with the keyboard. So then he makes a plea at the end. Please consider adding a camera mode or changing one of them, like driving cam, to support standard WASD plus mouse look movement.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
So I thought that was kind of a good post there. It kind of sums it up.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting, because, you know, we mentioned earlier in the week, talking to ourselves, that this would be the topic we'd like to cover. Well, we've all looked through the manual, and just before we started the show, we've finally started finding a few places that talked about camera modes in either manual for either game. But it's amazing that it's such a big part of the game and affects how you interact with the game and how well you feel about the game, yet it's relegated to 2 or 3 sentences that just says, well, yeah, there's camera modes. That's kind of just, you know, this is a big thing to me. I have played games and stopped playing games because of the way the view was. Xbox game Halo is a perfect example of that. I quit playing Halo just because of the way the camera action and that all worked. The whole thing was the reason why I quit playing it.
Really?
Well, yeah,
I thought Halo is the classic first-person shooter.
I thought it's
WSJ Maslett.
I thought it was because Trey and I both kick your butt so much.
Well, you did do that too, but it was. We're talking console game versus PC game now. Is this the comparison for me between Halo on the Xbox and at the time we were playing Unreal Tournament 2004 on the PC was. The difference between those would be the difference between widescreen,
right,
and crop screen.
Worlds apart as far as view perspective and camera speed and walking
and
speed.
Speed of play, yes. The walking speed, it took 50 minutes to walk across the field. The maps just felt like they were humongous, and that may be what they were going for, but I didn't care for it at all. Unreal Tournament was just much better set up for that, and that's probably where
it's different style of play.
Well, and I think it conforms to the WASD.
You also had no
mouse
gravity.
Look.
What was that?
You also had no gravity in UT 2004.
Well, you could turn it off, which is what we did.
Exactly. But anyway, I think it worked with the same way that this guy that you're talking about in the forum was talking about, that it used the WASD and mouse look.
Right.
Control style, which we're all used to.
I found another post out here by MarkX3 who talks about your swinging problem. You know how the camera swings back to its original location. He goes. Is there any way to not have the camera swing back to where it was before I was moving? It's driving me nuts.
Well, we've got a modification in our tip for this week that if you listen to it, that will help you. It's supposed to help with that. So maybe we've got the answer for him.
Sounds like he needs to use free mode instead of.
While you're in-game, you hit the asterisk key. It switches between those modes without having to pause the game and go to the options screen.
Ah,
right.
Understood.
What he's really sound like he's wanting is whenever he goes around a corner and it flips that camera out to where the game thinks it needs to be, he wants some way to put it back where he had it set to.
Yeah, he goes on to say, he then replies back and says, I'll try that, and then he posts the next day, the free camera option doesn't work for me because when I move the camera, I lose track of where my character is.
Yep.
Well, if you have the camera mode and driving mode, and you also have the enable camera always follows player option checked, and then, as you mentioned, Jay, in the tips, you have to actually modify the INI file so that option will stick.
Right.
It will behave that way. But
sounds to me like this guy needs to try the top-down camera mode if he wants the camera to stay the way he moves.
Well, top-down is just that. It's top-down. The camera doesn't move. It's just you just see the view from above.
Right. And that's how the thread actually concludes. He says, "Someone suggested. Sounds like you need to use the top-down." And he says, "Thanks. I just tried the top-down mode, and you're right. It does stay where I left it. So it looks like top-down mode is what I'll be using."
Yep.
Then he goes on to say, "Still, it would be nice if there was an option for the camera to behave the same in chase and driving mode also." So.
Yeah, I agree, and that's what I would like to have, because I like to set it at a particular angle and a particular zoom that I'm comfortable with, so far behind my character that I can still kind of see down the road where I'm going, and then I'd like to use the scroll right and left on the screen edges to look around while my character continues down the path, and then be able to just use my mouse to zip back around and stay in line with him. Neverwinter Nights 1, when you did that and you stopped your character and turned, then the camera would go back to your position that you had him in. It's kind of like auto center. You know, we're talking about MechWarrior earlier. MechWarrior had a key that you could hit that would make it, once you had strafed your mech and ran for long ways, and it was rather difficult to get it back lined up with your feet so you knew which way you were going and get the head pointed in the same direction because they were two different pieces of torso. They had a key that you could press that would automatically center it back on there, and that would be a great feature too, or some option that would just, if you've stopped and you start going forward again, it goes back to where your camera was set up before you started doing your mouse looks.
I kind of agree with the guy that mentioned that you know, they got 50 camera different modes and none of them are what people want. You know, you either want a first person view or you want a top down isometric view, kind of a third person view like Neverwinter Nights 1 was in Baldur's Gate. Neverwinter Nights 2, it's kind of a hybrid of all of them. It's, I don't know, it's just kind of weird.
Somebody goes, since 1.03, the cameras have been spot on.
Yeah, I did notice since I've installed the 1.03 patch, it does seem to be a little better. There's less of this mindless camera swinging around, you know, on its own kind of deal going on, but I still see that occasionally. My main complaint right now is that when I get in a tight area, usually indoors, the camera is on the one side of the wall, my character is on the other side of the wall, and I can't see myself. That gets real frustrating. You know, the trees and stuff like that.
I can't see myself.
Disappear, but walls and buildings don't. And so I'm forced to swing the camera around myself so I can see myself, or switch to a different camera mode, top down or chase or whatever. But if you're in the heat of battle, that's really frustrating.
This week we've got some interesting information for you regarding our podcast. As Trey mentioned, we were interviewed by the Saga team. They sent us an email interview, and it has since then been published on the Warcry site and the Vault. So we thank them for that opportunity, and you can check
out... We're famous now!
Yeah, you can check out that link in our show notes.
So check it out.
Now, we also got an email from Elfin just moments before starting the podcast tonight, and that he says that Dig.com has added a new site, or added a new section of their site for podcasting, and he went ahead and set up one for Neverwinter Nights podcast for us and sent us a link for it. So, Elfin, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We're going to go check out Dig and make sure we get our site linked into that one. So, thanks for listening, and if you have questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com, or you can send us an audio by clicking on the Send Me an Audio link on our website.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo.
And if you are a mod team and would like to have your mod featured on our Mod Spotlight segment, head over to Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website.
So that's it for this week.
And until next week,
get in game.
and level up.